His voice came to her from far off, as though he were speaking of something remote and academic. Her alarm made her exclaim, "Dick!" and she thrust her hand forward to his across the table. A reflex pulled Dick's hand back, and he added, "There's the whole situation to think of, isn't there? There's not just you." He covered her hand with his and said in the old pleasant voice of a conspirator for pleasure, mischief, profit, and delight, "See that boat out there?" It was the motor yacht of T.F. Golding, lying placid among the little swells of the Nisian Bay, constantly bound upon a romantic voyage that was not dependent upon actual motion. "We'll go out there now and ask the people on board what's the matter with them. We'll find out if they're happy."
"We hardly know him," Nicole objected.
"He urged us. Besides, Baby knows him. She practically married him, doesn't she? Didn't she?" When they put out from the port in a hired launch, it was already summer dusk, and lights were breaking out in spasms along the rigging of the margin. As they drew up alongside, Nicole's doubts reasserted themselves. "He's having a party." "It's only a radio," he guessed. They were hailed. A huge, white-haired man in a white suit looked down at them, calling, "Do I recognize the divers? Boat ahoy, margin!" Their boat moved under the companionway. As they mounted, Golding doubled his huge frame to give Nicole a hand. "Just in time for dinner." A small orchestra was playing astern. "I'm yours for the asking, but till then you can't ask me to behave." And as Golding's cyclonic arms blew them aft without touching them, Nicole was sorrier they had come, and more impatient at Dick. Having taken up an attitude of aloofness from the gay people here, at the time when Dick's work and her health were incompatible with going about, they had a reputation as refusers. Riviera replacements during the ensuing years interpreted this as a vague unpopularity. Nevertheless, having taken such a stand, Nicole felt it should not be cheaply compromised for a momentary self-indulgence. As they passed through the principal salon, they saw ahead of them figures that seemed to dance in the half-light of the circular stern. This was an illusion made by the enchantment of the music, the unfamiliar lighting, and the surrounding presence of water. Actually, save for some busy stewards, the guests loafed on a wide divan that followed the curve of the deck. They were a white, a red, a blurred dress, the laundered chests of several men, of whom one, detaching and identifying himself, brought from Nicole a rare little cry of delight. "Tommy!"